Well, good early morning. Happy Mother's Day. So we have, this time we get to share together. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this tags on to our Easter message from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross to the resurrection. And we look today at what happened to the church when Jesus ascended. But Jesus gave them strict instructions on things to do, so that His presence may live in each of our hearts in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Christian, today, if you are not constantly being filled every day with the Holy Spirit, you are not living up to the potential that God wants you to live up to. You're allowing things in the world to drag you down. You're allowing problems that will come either way. You're allowing your attitude to sour. You're allowing your hope and you're allowing despair to take over your hope. Listen, there are a lot of things going on in your life if you're not constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, when you're saved, God gives you His Holy Spirit. Now, there's a wrestling match that goes on in every one of us every day. Why? Because we naturally want to be the Lord of our life, but Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life. And this match going on all the time, and the only way that we will submit ourselves to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ is if we are filled with the Holy Spirit every day. See, being filled with the Spirit, if I could use just a physical example, these two water bottles. One is empty and one's full. Now, you may not be able to tell which one is full from your angle, from where you're sitting. And kind of like that in life. Sometimes from a distance, you can't tell if a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm looking at half a church full of people this morning, and I don't know if your life is filled with the Spirit or not, but give me 5 minutes alone with you. Let me see you go through a difficult time in your life. Let me see you face a challenge. It's kind of like this. Take the lid off of one, you realize there's not much there. Maybe a little bit. Take the lid off of this one, and you'll see it pour. See, being empty of the Holy Spirit, not much godliness comes out. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, when you face challenges, good things will happen. Godliness will be poured out. What would it look like today if you were filled with God's Spirit? Well, maybe you wouldn't get mad so much. And if you did get mad, you wouldn't be a prolonged anger that turned into resentment and turned into bitterness. Maybe you'd be a kinder person to be around. Maybe you would want to do more for other people. See, a lot of times we think we're nice people, but we're really not. And our neighbor just don't want to tell us that. We'd probably want to read our Bible more. We would be interested in prayer a lot more. Why? Because we realize that our connection with God is how we have leadership and guidance and comfort and strength. And that's how the Holy Spirit really works in our life, is our connection with God. Church wouldn't be just something we'd check off for major holidays or just come to as much as we could, once, twice a month. It'd be something we'd long to be at. What would your life look like if you were filled with the Holy Spirit every day, afresh and anew? That you surrender yourself over before your feet hit the floor. God, I don't know what today's challenges are, but God, I know I'll mess it up if I try to do it myself. Lord, would you forgive me for any thoughts, any attitudes I have that you're not pleased with? Remove those and fill me fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. And your feet hit the floor. You know what the devil says? She's awake. Because he knows the things he throws at you will not overwhelm you. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit of God. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Henry Varley said this. He said, "The world has yet to see what God can do and for, with and for, and through a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him." The world has yet to see what God can do with a man who is just sold out to Jesus all the way. The world has yet to see that. Because the reality is we struggle every day with things that should not be bogging us down. But we allow them to, because our focus gets on the problem rather than the problem solver. Jesus knew that would happen in the church, especially when he was out of the picture. When he ascended up into heaven, he knew that the church by itself in its own power would succumb to the world, would be overwhelmed by the world. So he gave us the Holy Spirit. So we begin reading Luke 24, verse 45 through 49. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them this, 'This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and will rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'" Power from on high. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, how wonderful it is to be your servant. How wonderful it is to be your child. Father, I pray today that you would look into our lives and realize, Father, each individual that you've created us to be, you put in different circumstances and different areas of life. God, you put different people in our world. You give us different jobs and different talents and different gifts. But Father, one thing that you've given us all in common is your Holy Spirit. And Father, he is powerful enough to lead us, to guide us through this life so that we can live it victoriously. God, help us today, Lord, to surrender and submit ourselves over to his power, his authority to lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21 says, "Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ." So there are three areas of our lives which the Holy Spirit actively works out God's will for God's glory and for our good. Three areas of our life. The first is this. The Spirit works for us. He works for God, but he also works on our behalf. The Holy Spirit works on our behalf. See, the Holy Spirit continuously pours out God's blessings and provision on our behalf to fulfill the ministry he's entrusted into our care. If you go down in Ephesians chapter 2, we are saved. Paul says we are saved so that we can complete the works that God has already given for us to do. So we're not saved to sit back on a pew and do nothing. God saved us for the works he's already created for us to do. We see in verse 45 and 46, it says, "Then he opened the minds to their understanding of the scripture, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise again.'" God had not left his disciples alone, and he has not left us alone to sort things out for ourselves. I'm so glad that God didn't leave it up to Kevin West to figure things out for his own life. believe me, it would be in a different place. And I praise God that he's not left you alone to sort it out for yourself. We would be in a mess if we had to do it all our own. God continuously works out things in our lives for our behalf to make us more effective and more efficient for him, so he can usher in his eternal kingdom. How does the Holy Spirit work for us? Listen, there are a lot of things we can name how the Holy Spirit works for us. But what does Scripture say? How does he work for those disciples? Well, first of all, verse 45 says, he opened their minds. You ever wonder how one person can read the Bible and it's nothing but a piece of literature to them? Or they look at it and it's only a piece of history? Listen, I have a lot of friends that they'll see things in Scripture and it's more than just literary based. I look at it and I read it and I'm like, wow, look what God says here. Look, boy, and I start tying it into my own life. How does that happen? How can a Christian read God's word and begin so vivid and so live to them? The Holy Spirit gives discernment. He opens our minds to see the spiritual meaning, emphasis behind it, not just a piece of literature, not just an old book that we call a holy book. No, the Holy Spirit brings it to life to us. So he enlightened the Christian's mind. He touched their minds for these disciples to transcend their own cognitive reasoning into spiritual wisdom. See, these disciples could not reason out how Jesus, who was crucified, they saw him teach and preach, and he was crucified. He died, and he was buried. And then 3 days later, he arose. How did it happen? 3 days later, they couldn't understand. These facts were beyond their sense of finite mental comprehension. How God did this miracle in Jesus Christ. Even today, so many have a hard time understanding that Jesus truly rose from the dead. And if he rose from the dead, he is who he says he is. The Holy Spirit enlightens our minds, just like he did those disciples. He's enlivened our souls through regeneration. He makes us spiritually alive in order that we may understand spiritual matters and live and believe as Christ wants us to. Just as Jesus opened the minds of disciples, this Holy Spirit continues to do the same for us. How is it that we can look at a certain situation and the world calls it one thing, but Christians are looking at it through spiritual eyes and they see something totally different? They see how God is working through all of that. Listen, Christian, I want you to know that God is working in your behalf in the world. He's already putting things out there in front of you that you have no clue. Did I ever tell you before I never actually really wanted to be a pastor? I never really wanted to preach, just not me. Just not, wasn't my personality. I'm the guy, still am. I'll come into a room and I'll sit on the back row where the seats are wore out, I know. But the nice fluffy seats are in the front, according to Jim. And just never really say a word. I'm good if no one talks to me. I'm good. I'll just slip in, slip right on out. Hear what I need to hear. That's my personality, though. But let me tell you what, when God has other things in store for you, he will give you what you need to do the things that he has required for you to do. He's already touched you in certain ways. Now, it will be out of your comfort zone, because your comfort zone is probably on the back row, not saying anything, not messing with anybody, not going into their life, not digging in the mud that they're in. You just want to be left alone. You just want to be happy, happy, happy. That's all. But listen to you, when the Holy Spirit is working in your behalf, he's going to do some things for you that you cannot resist. It's like, why? When God is touching it, leading a person to salvation, why can't they resist? You know why? Because it's just too sweet a deal. It's too sweet. God is already working on our behalf. Take courage in this. When God is leading somebody in your life so that you can share Christ with, He's already preparing the way. You're just that human connection. That's all. Human connection, but God wants to work through us to make that connection into the life of someone else. Where God will have you in 5 years from now, I don't know, and you don't either. And there's nobody in this world that could ever tell you where God will have you in 5 years. But with the Holy Spirit filled, let me tell you what, it's a fun ride. It's a fun ride. So God opened their mind to the Scriptures. Open their mind to the Scriptures. We have to understand these were Jews. They had studied the Scriptures for years and years and years. They knew the Old Testament. Many had memorized vast parts of the Old Testament. But they still could not identify Jesus Christ as the Savior, as their Messiah. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had not opened their eyes to see Him. But the ones that the Holy Spirit had opened their eyes, they begin to see Jesus for who He truly is, Savior and Lord. He opened their minds, and He opened their minds and their eyes and their understanding to the Scripture. Samuel Shattuck said this. He said, "The philosophies of men fail, but the Word of God and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit prevails." Listen, the Holy Spirit is always working in your behalf. He's always working out things for God's will to be manifest in your life. So it does us well to be filled with the Spirit so that our minds are open to the things that God is leading us to do. And believe me, when God is leading you to do something, it will be very clear to you. Even though it's out of your comfort zone, even though you've never really thought about it that way, when it's the Holy Spirit, your eyes are opened, and you'll just take the step of faith. You'll get so far out of your comfort zone that you're a little nervous. You're a little scared. A seminary professor told me, pay for a preacher to sit on the front row with a little acid in their stomach. That's good. For when God leads you to where He wants you to be, there'll be a little acid in your stomach. See, if we're too comfortable, we're doing it in our own strength and our own power. But boy, when there's a little nervousness going on there, whatever God has, we know we have to rely on Him to get us through it. The second thing we see here is that the Spirit works through us. So the Spirit works for us, but He also works through us. See, the Holy Spirit works through us to connect other people with the love of Christ Jesus, which leads them to a personal knowledge of the Savior. Verse 47 and 48 says, they also say that all people, talking about Scripture, they also say that all people of every nation must be told in My name to turn to God in order to be forgiven. So beginning in Jerusalem, you must tell everything that has happened. The Holy Spirit is presently and continuously working in people's lives so that you and I encounter them, we can plant the seed of faith in their life. Plant the gospel in their life. You know how you do that? It may just by being kind to them. It may be generosity toward them. It may be showing them love, showing them concern, showing them some things that we may take for granted. You don't know who you will encounter tomorrow. You don't know who you'll encounter today. Listen, it's Mother's Day. But there's some women out there who've never had a child. Maybe they couldn't. Maybe they've had one and lost one. They need some encouragement. So although we're celebrating Mother's Day, we should celebrate women. Because for whatever reason, God has chosen not to bring a child into their life. But you see, they need encouragement from us. they need us to touch them. God wants to work through us. The Holy Spirit is preparing a person for the gospel to be presented and the love of Christ to be shared. He works through us to reach the very people that He's already moved in their life to be receptive. See, why does God encourage us? Why does Jesus Christ say, go into all nations? Why does He say, go to your neighbor, go next door? Why does He say that? Because the Holy Spirit is already working in them. Now He wants to work through us. He wants to work through us. And God's infinite wisdom, He's chosen finite, fragile, broken people to share His perfect gospel. Hardest thing is convincing Christians that that's the way God works. We just somehow mysteriously think that the person next door will become saved or they go into heaven when they die and they've never accepted Christ. How foolish of us. So we just ignore the very thing that God has told us to do. We must be available for God to help us and work through us to make that connection. Verse 47, this is what Jesus says, is proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in His name. Acts 4, verse 12 says this, salvation is found in no one else, for though there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. We proclaim to everyone that salvation is in no one and nothing else except Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who gives and brings salvation as a free gift of love to them. There are millions, millions of people who are straying away into all sorts of things. Listen, they practice a religion. They have statues, they have relics, they have idol gods. And none of those things have eternal value. Listen, Muhammad with his Islam and Buddha, Joseph Smith, Sun Myung Moon, many other self-proclaimed prophets do not have saving value. There's no mysterious knowledge, hidden knowledge, or a new gospel leads to salvation. It's Christ, Christ Jesus, and Christ alone. And listen, Christian, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we truly believe that, and we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and if we know He's the only way to heaven, why aren't we sharing with someone? If we know that Jesus is the only way, why aren't we at least telling someone else what Jesus has done for us? We all have a story. Why are we afraid to tell our own story of what God has done in our own life, what Christ has saved us from? How do we receive Jesus? How does our friends, our neighbors receive Jesus? The Holy Spirit regenerates us. The Holy Spirit is working. We said He's working out there. He touches people, regenerates them, makes them spiritually alive. So when the message of truth is brought into their life about Jesus Christ, they see Him as Savior and they trust Him. It's not joining a Baptist church. It's not joining a Pentecostal church or a Methodist church or a Catholic church. Listen, they go where they want, where the Holy Spirit leads them to be fed. Holy Spirit leads them to Jesus, not to a church, not to a denomination, but to the church. We must share the gospel. Second thing we see in verse 48 is we must be witnesses. Jesus says you are witnesses of these things. You and I are witnesses. Listen, the only way that we'll get out of our comfort zone to share Christ with someone is that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to work through us, because He's already working around us. But too many Christians, they're so self-centered that they don't want to see what God is doing in someone else's life. We don't want to see what He's doing over there and out there and how God can use us out there. We're just more worried about what God can do for us. And he says, you are my witnesses. You know what witness does? There's evidence. We know that evidence, and we speak of that evidence. Jesus has identified the church as witnesses. What's a witness? A personal knowledge of something. One who gives evidence of it. Each person saved by Jesus Christ has the personal responsibility to be a witness by giving testimony what he has done in your life. Listen, I shared on Wednesday nights. If you're not coming on Wednesday night, listen, you're missing some deep study. We've misinterpreted something here in Christianity. Sunday morning, we call it a worship service. So in our Baptist mentality, we think we're serving God by showing up to church. No, service means you're doing something. I'm not sitting down. And when we're to serve God, really means that we're serving other people. If we're not serving other people, then we're really not serving God. So we're mistakenly thinking that because I showed up for church, I'm doing service for God. No, that's the bare minimum of what we should do to worship God. Service comes in when we're actually doing something for someone else, another person. I've been in church for 49 years, and I've not seen a whole lot by sitting down in a worship service as being service to someone else. Sometimes the hard truth goes right here at us. So service really means what we're doing for others, not what's being done for us. So while in a worship time, really, are we serving anyone? Or are we really trying to be served? So in our mentality, we have to change our thinking to the understanding of biblical service, not what we've gotten used to or comfortable with. Is that when I sit down in a service, you know what? What I think is a service, I'm not serving God in any way. I'm worshiping God. But I, Kevin West, only serve God when I'm out doing for someone else. Jesus talked about feeding the hungry, or giving a drink to those who are thirsty. You see the service work in that? Not sit and listen. Those things are for growth, not service. He says you're to be witnesses. You're to be my witnesses. It's pretty straightforward. Those who are not witnesses are not really included in the church. Listen, what you do Monday through Saturday is your witness. That's your witness because you're having the opportunity to serve others. It's in our spiritual DNA. Jesus told his disciples that they were witnesses to everything that had taken place in ministry, the crucifixion, resurrection. Jesus made a clear connection to the Old Testament prophecies and what they had witnessed. They were successful in spreading the gospel, and wave upon wave of spiritual awakenings have shaken the world today because they were filled with the Spirit of God. You're called to be a witness. You're called to serve. We can't do that on our own. Why is it that it's so hard to get people to do service for Christ? I'll tell you how. Because we're really not filled with the Spirit of God. Because when we're filled with the Spirit of God, listen, there's a drive, there's a motivation, there's a desire to help our neighbor. There is a desire to do more. There's a desire to see where God is working and join him there. Join him where he is working. Oh, this morning, Alan Redpath said this, if you look up into the face, if you look up into his face and say, yes, Lord, whatever it costs, At that moment, he'll flood your life with his presence and his power. Are you willing to be a witness for Christ so that he can work through you to the life of others? The third and final thing is this. The Holy Spirit works in you. So not only does he work for you, he works through you, but he works in you. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is essential to live victoriously and to effectively share the message of Christ. Listen, Christ would do things in you through the power of the Holy Spirit that you never thought possible. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is a part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. Verse 49 says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus knew that life's conditions were not favorable for his disciples or for us. He knew what was coming in 2017. He knew you before you were born, and he knew what issues you would deal with in this life. He knew it already. And he's prepared things. He's prepared you. He's prepared you to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus knew that life's conditions were not favorable, and that we would live, but we could live over victoriously over sins and troubles. What did he do for us? Well, he gave us a promise. God gives us a promise, which is reality to hold on to for his divine timing. Listen, when God gives you a promise, listen, don't ignore it. You don't have to look for it right away, but just hold on to it. And his divine timing, it will happen. And a lot of times when you're just about to give up. Numbers 23, verse 19 and 20. See, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a man, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then act, not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I've received a command to bless. He is blessed, and I cannot change it. God has promised to fill you and to empower you to live and witness for him. His word is complete and more sure than your last breath. God cannot lie. He's promised to give you all that you need to live for him, to minister in the area of influence that he has placed you. How do you receive his promise? How do you receive the promise that God wants to work in you? First thing is prayer and patience. Prayer and patience. And listen, they go hand in hand. If you're not praying, you're not going to get the patience. And if you're not patient, you're not going to pray. They work hand in hand. Verse 49 says, he said, stay in here in the city. So Jesus is telling them, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. What do you need to do? You need to hang out here in the city for a while. But Lord, I need it now in our instant gratification society. We want it now, Lord. Give me everything now. Jesus commanded disciples just to rest. He said, stay here in the early church, just to stay here to quiet themselves and wait for his promise. How many of you like to wait? Yeah, I thought everybody would. None of us like to wait very good, and we're not very good at it either, because we've gotten to this microwave mentality that you push a button and it happens. Listen, when our phone doesn't respond fast enough, I need a new phone. So we'll go get a new phone. We're standing at the microwave. We put our grits in there and go, tapping our foot, hurry up. I'm wasting life here for your 3-minute grits. You all remember the old days of stirring that pot on the stove for those grits? Then we tell, no, baby, you can have the grits. I'm going to get some cereal. That's faster. Prayer and patience. Patience is a virtue that accompanies men and women of God who are serious about God's will being primary over their wills. We like things to be immediate, but God wants us to wait. Patience is a demonstration of faith, not a friend of apathy. God wants us to wait. Prayer and patience are together, hand in hand, for God to bless us in our life and to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Acts 1:14 says they were joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. Acts 2, verse 1, 2, and 4 says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound of a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Listen, they sat there, these disciples, 120 of them, for 10 days, praying patiently for what God had promised them to come about. God promised the Holy Spirit was going to come. We're going to sit here and pray it out. How many of us want God to do something in our life? We'll pray a day or two. We'll post it on Facebook. I need some prayers. And then we forget about it. And when it don't happen, well, I guess God just didn't want that. Yeah, maybe God wanted it, but you weren't ready for it because you weren't praying it out. You weren't sitting patiently waiting for God to fulfill. See, the church patiently waiting and praying for 10 days for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in their life. And boy, they were all filled with the Spirit and gifted to minister to the people in Jerusalem. The third thing we see is that power, they needed power to live for God and to witness for Him. We need God's power just to be who God wants us to be for Jesus in this world. Verse 19 says, stay until you have been clothed with the power from on high. The Holy Spirit clothes us with power to minister in our lives. He radiates His Spirit from us to those around. A believer walking in the Holy Spirit knows when another believer is near and there and filled with the Spirit of God. God's power gives us boldness and courage and compassion to live out the things that He wants us to live out and to love those who seem unlovable. James 4, verse 7 and 8 tells us this: submit yourselves to God, then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. See, the gates of hell will not prevail against the life when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you walk in victory over Him in those problematic areas. Flesh and blood and spiritual influences lose their power over you when you live empowered with the Holy Spirit. What's this look like? Well, the proof of the Spirit, of a Spirit-filled life, Ephesians chapter 5, we read, says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, there should be some encouragement coming out of us. Sing and make music in your heart. So that's an inner peace and inner joy that we have. Always giving thanks to the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Proof of walking in the Holy Spirit is that there's joy in our life and there's peace in our life. Listen, we don't get it right all the time. And listen, troubles will come our way, but there's a difference, an abiding presence in us that God leads our way. God leads our way, that we give Him thanks regardless of the situation. Even recently, I've come to realize that there are a lot of things that's outside of our control. Matter of fact, if we want to be honest, most of all of life is outside of our control, and there's nothing we can do about it. But we do know this: there's one who does control it. There's one who leads us through it when we fully trust Him. Jim Cimbali said this: we need continual infillings of the Holy Spirit to meet the stronger ungodly tendencies of the age. So the question comes down to this. We know that the Spirit of God is working for us. He wants to work through us, and He works in us. Have you surrendered yourself fully to the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Listen, I'm not talking about a speaking in a different language. I'm not talking about a spiritual gift. I'm talking about just you, as God's Word says, submit yourself to God completely. And infilling every day. Why? Because we're like a rusty old bucket. We leak. Situations come and it drags the energy out of us. Another situation that day in family drags a little bit more. Will you today just pray, God, fill me with your Spirit so I can live a victorious life for you? Listen, not just today. Tomorrow's Monday. Do it again. Tuesday, do it again. Every day. Because we leak. Let's pray. Father God, thank you today that we go through life, Father, not alone. That you are with us through your Holy Spirit. God, these are your children. They want to live the life that as best, Lord, they can, but God, in victory. And God, we know that we'll stumble and we'll fall over and over and over again until we finally submit ourselves to you and fill with your Spirit. God, help us today to live in strength, in vitality, and power so that we can live that life on purpose for you and intentionally be your witness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together this morning.